Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. Excited to be back.
Steve, I see you laughing over there.
I'm just smiling. I'm happy to be back with you. You know, we took 2 weeks off. I didn't think I was going to go through withdrawals of not having Sarah in the show every week.
Right? I have to say, I definitely miss doing the show. But it was also really nice to just have some time off and to unplug. And here we are. New year, new energy.
I know. What did you end up doing?
Oh, gosh. I ended up doing, I actually had a very low-key holiday. Low-key for Christmas. I was in Los Angeles. I just wanted to be home. And then over New Year's, I ended up going to Joshua Tree, which we'll totally talk about later. But I want to hear what you did. But we also, by the way, in the meantime, if you're joining in, let us know where you're joining from.
Yeah, it was time for our roll call. I think we should get some music for our roll call today.
Let's do that.
So as we're doing this, we said we're going to bring some early morning energy to this show. And yeah. So we want to see where you all are watching from. So we've got Jeremy, super fan Jeremy from Israel. Always love seeing you, my friend.
Oh, and who else is joining us on live? I'm back in L.A.
I'm in Miami. I just got back yesterday from Washington, D.C., which was a lot of fun.
Dude. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. I went to college in D.C., favorite place of mine. I will be actually there actually in a couple of days, so it looks like I just missed you again. But
it was great. I was walking the streets of Georgetown thinking, where did young Sarah and Vina run around here in Georgetown?
Stop. Oh, my gosh. That's right, Vina. Okay, we have to remind everybody.
Oh, we got Philip from the Bahamas. Good to see you this morning. This music is some Bahamas energy right now. So
yeah, we definitely need some Bahamas. We're having any-
Oh, now we're loud in here. All right, cut it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we're getting to party mode. Our viewers are like, what's going on over here?
Bad mode Steve.
We're still.
Right, got it. Right.
But anyhow, I was walking Georgetown streets thinking of where Sarah was partying.
Sarah wasn't a big partier in the.
I could see her running around there. But Rebecca from DC, I was just there.
Rebecca. So, okay, we might have to come say hello. All right. As you can see, we are totally starting off the show with a little bit of different energy because why not? You know, like we have to have a little bit of fun in what we do. And so I hope you understand where we're coming from. Just want to keep it light before we dive into the serious topics.
I love it. Well, I'm just laughing because I love the energy we've got here. I really missed it. And I love seeing all of you joining from around the world. Always good to have you here. And I know how busy it is, especially this first week of the year for everyone in hospitality. So just taking the time to listen to us live. And if you're listening to us afterwards, thank you for joining us.
Oh, wow. I feel like we've got like MC Steve on the show today.
Well, listen, I used to be part of the DJ Turk crew. You know?
I get, hey, look, I was on Hot 99.5, an assistant morning show producer when I lived in Washington, D.C. Yep, on a radio show.
Well, love seeing Arnaldo joining us from Miami. We got a lot of good people joining us here today. Great people.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and dive into the topics? Because I know that we also have some stories to share from our personal travels over the holidays that I will want to get into. But in the meantime, if you guys have questions or if you have comments on the topics we're talking about, please share them live. Oh, cool. Oh, we got San Francisco in the house. I love it. You are up early, joining that early morning energy crew.
That's right. I like that we're planting those seeds here of the early morning energy.
We are. Okay. So our first topic of the day, we're going to be talking about the loyalty race that is happening right now, where Hilton is gaining on Marriott. For those of that have been paying attention, Marriott has definitely been kind of dominating the loyalty program. But in the past year, Hilton has definitely stepped up, and they're pretty much on track to overtake Marriott as far as loyalty member counts by the end of 2024, which is pretty interesting. And then they also kind of talked about the other, you know, the other hotels that are brands that are doing really well. Hyatt is also showing a large growth. And then if we're looking to, you know, brands that are based in Europe, as far as Accor and IHG, they are also like two of the largest in the world, but it's interesting. They don't have as large of an enrollment in their loyalty programs as Hilton, Marriott, and Hyatt. A lot of it has to do with hotel density, like where, you know, how many places you've got hotels. Is it easy to go ahead and cash in on those rewards and all of that? What are you seeing there, Steve?
Well, first, I'd like to see if you're listening out there, are you part of these membership programs? Are you part of Marriott? Are you part of Hilton? Are you part of IHG, Hyatt? Or is it just kind of whatever your credit card points take you? I'm curious to see.
Or do you just focus on the brand of your hotel that you work at?
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see. So here's what I like seeing is that there's 192 million people signed up for Marriott and 173 million for Hilton. Like, these numbers are gigantic numbers. These are bigger than most countries. And these private companies now have access to all these things to be able to provide to their loyalty members. But there's another kind of, like, not a dark side, we'd say, is some of the franchise owners don't love having these because they don't get paid as much as a regular dollar. But if you don't have those loyalty guests, you're not filling up that hotel. So it's this even line where you got to kind of walk with the revenue managers to really decide how many points are we allowing in the hotel? Are we allowing it for regular rooms, for suites? Where are we getting these people? So it's a whole science that I don't know enough about, but I would love to learn more about. You know,
we have a loyalty expert so we can call on. Do you guys think that we should have a loyalty expert on? I do.
I think we should. We talked about it last time, talk about a points guy. And we see Will Slicker, Bonvoy Marriott. We got Jeremy, who's with Hilton.
Okay.
I just signed up for IHG.
Okay, Bonvoy boy. Okay. so interesting that. So this is my rule of thumb when it comes to loyalty programs. If I'm staying at a hotel that's part of like a larger chain, or if I'm flying an airline, I join every loyalty program. I earn points for everything that I ever spend on travel, even if it's not my main, brand that I stick with. So you just joined.
I just joined IHG because they made it very simple. I was at an Intercontinental in Washington, D.C. They asked me if I wanted to be in it. I said yes. They signed me up in 15 seconds and now I'm a member. But I've always been loyal to like my credit card points.
Oh, okay.
But like American Express gets you Hilton, I think like gold right off the bat.
So yes. And not only that, but they also right now, side note, because I was looking at my American Express points. So this is what's really tricky is that the American Express points right now, 1,000 Amex points will actually transfer into 2,000 Hilton points, and only 1,000 will only transfer into 1,000 Marriott points. Bonvoy points right now. But I play the field.
You should. No, but it's interesting to see it because it is a big battle and they're starting to like one up each other in these point games. So like if you're staying at these places, you can do them. And now they're starting to spread into vacation rentals. They're starting to spread into, you know, some of these places are like Ritz-Carlton has their yachts now. So that's part of Marriott. Yeah. So now you can start using points in all different kind of places. So it's interesting. You could have kind of whatever you want if you're working with some of these bigger brands that are getting it to all different spaces.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And it is really interesting that, you know, obviously hotels can really look to airlines as far as the game, because airlines, I mean, it just, we just don't have as many airlines to choose from. So like the loyalty game is, it's far more prevalent there. They've just, they have a many, many more members. Again, hotels can learn so much from airlines in regards to that. And, you know, we'll just see how they evolve because it is, it's a big game and it's something that, I mean, it's so big of a game that you do have independent hotels that they actually become part of other sort of like independent hotel loyalty programs. There are several ones out there. So, it's definitely not something to sleep on.
No, it's only going to get bigger. As Gen Z says, they want to travel and have experiences. So they're going to be joining in waves, these loyalty programs.
Gen
so
Z says, did Gen Z call you up and tell you?
I just did an article on it and a little study in my newsletter. You can check it out at thehospitalitymentor.com and see what Gen Z and millennials really want.
Wow. I like that. I'm going to have to read your article.
See, come on. We'll study it together after this.
This is hilarious. Oh my God. All right. Okay. Switching gears a bit. We all know and talk about obviously loyalty programs, but now we're talking about the AI and the digital transformation and how it is changing the hotel landscape. So first of all, I feel like it has been the longest running conversation of how do we incorporate technology into hotels without losing or diluting the guest experience. I mean, oh my gosh, we have been talking about this forever. And now we've got AI. And it's interesting. And I think it kind of blows my mind that people are still nervous to implement technology into hotels. And the guest experience, because first of all, that's how we live as humans. Like we have our phone with us. I mean, like my phone is with me unless I'm sleeping or in the shower.
I mean, yeah, like, me too. Maybe that's a bad habit for us. Maybe that's a New Year's resolution we got to add to our list.
All right, Steve, we're not talking about that. I'm not ready to break that addiction. No, yeah, but again, like understanding how we are so reliant on technology. And, you know, there's a couple of different things that, you know, people have certain mindsets when it comes to implementing AI into hotels. But there are ways that we can kind of like look to sort of harmonizing the experience, so to speak. So, I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to education and training. Also using AI to help personalize, because again, hospitality and especially like higher end service, personalization is king. And you can really use AI to help do that. Also balancing sort of tech and having that high level touch. Absolutely. And then the other big thing, because I think AI's and understandably so, there's a lot of mistrust around it. So you have to build that sort of trust and understand that, like, okay, this is how we can implement it. It's not going to take over. We're not going to lose jobs, you know, and that we can still have AI help handle sort of like the mundane things that maybe if we, you know, take that off the plate of people working, they can have more, more time to have special moments with guests.
Yeah. Look, I think first, are you using AI tools in your daily life?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And for listeners out there, are you using AI tools out there? I mean, there's a bunch of them out there, even some simple ones like you've heard of ChatGPT, I'm sure. And if you haven't, please just go start playing with these things.
Yes.
But if I'm a general manager of a hotel, I want my team using it.
Yeah.
Because we are all short-staffed, the majority of hotels. The teams are a little stressed out.
Totally.
This helps you become more efficient. People say, well, I don't want, you know, chatbots answering people. It's not about that. Here's a perfect example that I think would work wonderfully. I just tested it. So I went to Washington, D.C. I asked ChatGPT, I'm going to Washington, D.C., family of four. Here's ages. Here are the dates I'm going to be there. Here's kind of what I'm looking for. Give me an itinerary. Gave me an itinerary. I spoke to the concierge, Mr. Khan, wonderful guy over there. Very similar. And then I went through my agenda with him and he said, you know, I would change this for something else.
Right? Wait, what was Mr. Khan's first name?
I don't remember his first name, but he's an excellent concierge. He has keys. Yep.
I was excellent. Okay, we'll talk about this offline.
But anyway, it was excellent because he helped tweak it. And so I would love my concierge to be able to take all that data in and very quickly be able to come up with different ideas. Or if you have all these reviews coming in, you can plug them all into a ChatGPT or an AI tool, review all these, give me what's happening very quickly so you don't have someone sitting there going review by review by review looking for trends. This can happen in seconds and free up that person. So it's countless ways to do it. Food and beverage, there's 1,000 ways to use it to help you inspire with menus and cocktails and different coffee drinks for the holidays. Please, hoteliers, don't be afraid of this. It's not that you're replacing somebody with a robot. Use it to make your team more efficient, make their lives better, and make your guest experience better. I'm telling you, it's going to pay off.
And thank you for coming to Steve's TED Talk.
Sorry, I'm getting fired up about it because I talked to so many executives. I asked them, have you tried ChatGPT? No. Has your team tried it? No. I went to go speak at a university for hospitality students and half the room had never used it. And so these are the young generation coming up. I'm like, come on, guys. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Sorry. No. Oh. Fired up here.
Look, I'm number one of your TED Talk fan club here. I agree with you 100%. This is interesting. Jeremy wrote in, he was saying that AI leaves out the emotional element of recommendations. And again, it's not necessarily going blindly on it, but it is like, it's a good starting board, you know, starting place, like, especially if you don't know anything about like a destination, it gives you an idea. And keep in mind, like AI is kind of pulling from all sorts of things online. So you're talking about blogs, news articles, all of that. So it's not to say that it's maybe totally wrong, but I always say it's always good to cross check the information.
Yes. Because I'll give you another one. Yeah. Another example. People spend so much time making schedules. Right. Like they're just going through, I got to make a schedule or I got to do the payroll and the budget. Like these are tools that can make things happen instantly versus spending hours behind in an office with no windows, staring at a screen, going through your book of people's request time off. Like I could see it happening and it's still happening. And so why not give people the tools to make it more efficient? So like Arnaldo says, you know, he doesn't want to see AI used to make the customer experience, but to enhance it. Right. I agree. Yes. And that's what it should be. It should not be you talking to a chatbot that is not a human, right? I still think you should have that, but that human could have the tools to be able to understand so much about what's going on.
Yeah, it's all about streamlining processes that maybe you don't necessarily need a person for. And so that, again, you can free up the individuals that are working at the hotel to have more of those in-person experiences. So definitely not something to be scared of by any means.
Well, listen, you can play with mine. I made a hospitality mentor GPT. You can take a picture of any wine, spirit, or beer. It will tell you the history of it and tell you what to pair it with, what kind of food. So go play with it.
Oh my gosh. Steve, how many hours in a day do you have? I feel like you're operating on like 32 hours in a day. Like every time I'm like, how are you doing like so much?
With the help of AI.
See, there you go. Proof right here. Apparently I'm old and slow to enhance
you're not. Listen, you've got it and you've been using it. We're going to keep using it this year.
Totally. All right. Well, there you go. If you guys have more thoughts on AI, definitely leave the comments here. But why don't we go ahead, switch gears. Let's talk about travel just in general, some big sort of travel trends that we're sort of forecasting into 2024. What are you guys seeing? Let us know as we kind of talk about this particular topic. Some experts are saying that 2024 is the year of globetrotting because people are really looking to go to international destinations. And why I love that, we're not using the term the year of revenge travel. Like people are like, I want to get back out there and go go to some places that maybe I haven't been, whether it's in a while or ever, but really kind of seeking something that's different from necessarily just at home. And I love when people double down on international travel. Obviously, if you're in different parts of the world, like in Europe or even parts of the Middle East, it's easier to kind of hop around to different countries. Space is just more confined. It's closer. It's easier to do. But in the United States, even for example, just for me to get from the West Coast to the East Coast, that's like a 4.5-5 hour flight, depending on where I'm going. So obviously it's trickier when you're in the United States, but when people are really making a point to travel internationally, it's always wonderful because you just learn so much about humans and all of that. So London, Rome, Paris, always the fan favorites. By the way, the Olympics are in Paris this year, so that's something to keep in mind. But then also people are really looking to go to Europe. So major cities in Europe like Tokyo, Seoul, South Korea, Shanghai, a lot of these have, you know, reopened in sort of the more recent history. Mm-hmm. And so people are really looking to get back out there. But you have anything that's high on your list?
I've always wanted to go to Japan. I have Same. Not made it out there. And I think everyone that goes tells me I would love it. But one of my goals for this year is to visit 4 new U.S. cities. Because there's so many U.S. cities that are, you know, great places. We just never would expect it to go. And so
this is true.
I really want to go visit 4 new places, really in the middle of the country. I've never really been in the middle of our country. I'm always on the coasts.
Known for barbecue. Keep going.
Kansas City. I want to check out Montana. I've never been up to Montana to go check
that
area.
I never have either. You're right.
I mean, we got to check that out, right? Mm-hmm. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I've never been to any of these like national places. So I need to go check these out, especially with my kids now. They love traveling. We just went through Christmas and Santa came and they're like, you know, these toys were awesome, but we love going places. I was like, all right, we're doing something right here. So let's get them to some more places and let's keep it going.
I love that. And that's so, I mean, honestly, like, I think that's the best gift that you can give your kids is the opportunity and then the idea and excitement of travel, because they grow and learn so much. And those become such core memories, you know, like they'll always be like, oh, remember the time that we went here. And even if like something like not great happens on the trip, obviously fast forward a couple of years and it's something that they'll laugh about and they'll have, you know, you have this like fun memory where you're like, oh God, remember the time where like, whatever happens.
Oh, yeah,
so I got his arm eaten off by an alligator. Oh yeah, real funny. No, just me? Okay. All right.
Or we've eaten alligator when you come on down here to the Everglades. You see?
Yeah, about that. No.
But what about you? Where do you want to go? And listeners, while Sarah's telling us, I'd love to see where you want to be traveling to this year, because you know, I also want to get your opinion. I saw something about travel dupes, which I'm really interested in, because people are traveling to like Bali, but you could do the same thing in the Caribbean with certain things, right? So where do you want to go?
Ooh, I definitely want to make a point for more international travel and definitely more travel for myself personally. Obviously, for those that know and follow me, not necessarily because I don't share all my travels on LinkedIn, although I probably should do more.
I should.
I travel to, you know, I travel a lot for work. So quite often when it comes time to like having time off, I'm not like, well, let me hop on a plane again. But there's something that's different when you can experience a place for yourself. And so interestingly enough, I'm missing Europe. So I think I might like go back to Europe this year, maybe hop around, whether I do a little bit of France, Germany. I have, oddly enough, never been to Spain.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. I thought
it's
you
crazy.
Would love it there.
I know. And it's so funny because I've been to Portugal like a bazillion times, which most people don't make it necessarily to Portugal, but they make it to Spain. But yeah, just, I mean, it's also due to where family is, but and then maybe some, last continent on my list, Africa. I think I'd like to, and which is crazy because I used to live in Saudi Arabia as a kid, right across the Red Sea. Could
right look. There.
Yeah, but no, I couldn't look. You get the point. Still somehow never made it to Africa. I've been to Antarctica and I have not been to Africa.
That's crazy.
I know. See,
I want to do some more adventure travel. That's the goal this year. Four cities, adventure travel that I can bring family along.
Perfect. Done. You know what? And by the way, if we happen to do something that we meet up at some city and we do the show, definitely bring your family. And they might need to make an appearance on the show.
My daughter would love to. We're going to see. She's been wanting to get on YouTube, on Instagram. She's turning eight this year in February. So we're going to see when we allow that to happen.
Well, there could be some fun there. There could definitely be some fun. I like it. Okay. Why don't we quickly talk about our last topic here?
Jeremy says he's going to join us in Japan and he's going to be the concierge instead of AI. All right. I hear you, Jeremy. I hear you.
Oh, my. Jeremy, for the record, he wasn't just using AI. He used it as a springboard and then went to the concierge.
I did. And Mr. Khan, excellent.
Steve is not going to do us dirty like that. He's definitely going to be supporting the concierge world.
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to be back to the golden age of cheap flights? This is really interesting because obviously flights have become more and more expensive, inflation, blah, 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 all the exciting things that are happening in the world right now. I say that tongue in cheek. At some point, like, they can't keep getting more expensive because you can't price people out. You still need people to travel. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we have two potential airline mergers within the United States that are happening. JetBlue and Spirit, they're in talks, and then also Hawaiian and Alaska as well, too. What that does to the playing field, like, does it make it more, you know, as far as more accessible to individuals? Like, can they travel to more destinations? All of that. But I'm hoping that even if prices don't necessarily go down, that at least they level out, because we need people traveling.
Yes, we do need people traveling. And look, I fly with my family, so it starts getting more and more expensive, right? But now it was a little bit better at the end of this year than it was at the beginning for us.
That's fair.
You made me a fan of Delta. So I flew Delta both ways. So you can tell that Delta know you influenced me for sure. And get in there. But what I like seeing is that I started using a new tool with Google Flights. I didn't know about it. And so I started using Google Flights, and it kind of, you can put in anything, like an idea of where you want to go, and it'll start to alert you on all different kind of prices. And there's starting to be some great deals out there. What I've learned is, like, if you should be booking things 6 to 8 weeks out for domestic and maybe like 2 to 3 months for international, when you start seeing some of the best deals. So now's a good time to be planning if you want to go in that first quarter. Is that what you're seeing too?
Oh, 100%. And what I love is what you just mentioned. First of all, always book direct, obviously, at the end of the day. But I love using these other tools. Hello, we're leaning into technology again. Mm-hmm. But these other tools to kind of get an idea as far as good deals that are out there. And if you are at all flexible with destinations and being open-minded about that, and maybe even a little bit of your schedule, if you are flexible at all, it's amazing what might open up for you. And to me, some of my best trips have been trips that maybe the destination wasn't exactly like high on my list or even really on my radar. But then, like, I, for example, I remember being offered to go to Nicaragua, and I was like, Nica who? Kidding, I know what Nicaragua is. But I was like, cool. Sorry, that's really how I spoke. But like, I ended up going, I had a phenomenal time. Phenomenal. And I was like, wow, this just wasn't even on my radar, but I ended up going. And so definitely look for deals to maybe open your minds to destinations you just wouldn't have thought of at first.
I agree. We talked about that once, like that surprise travel. Like, would you just go somewhere not knowing where it might be? But I'm open to, like, looking for different places that I just never been, because I think there are so many great cities that we just don't think of. We all think of the big names all the time.
Yeah,
I'm going to go explore some of these other cities that could become some of our favorites.
Yes, they could. Okay. Keep in mind of the time, because it's a new year.
Yeah, we're flying by here.
We are flying by. Let's do a little bit of real-time recap. Oh, wait. Yours is packed, I bet, right?
I'm packing up my office, viewers, but to ring the bell. Everything's packed up. This is the last show I'll be doing in here as we
build. Oh my gosh, end of an era.
I don't know. I gotta see if I can bring my plants along. We're gonna figure this out.
I cannot wait to see. It'll be an evolution. It'll be awesome. Okay, real-time recap. You ready to share or you want me to dive in?
I would love to share. So as we said, I went to Washington, D.C. for the New Year's Eve week, and I ended up picking a random place, just wanted to be in a certain neighborhood and found a good deal at the Intercontinental Hotel in Washington, D.C. at the Wharf, which is a great little part of the city, which I love the Wharf. And I wrote to the general manager, Chris Lee, just saying, hey, I would love to say hello to you. Didn't ask for anything, to say, I would love to say hello if you're around. I know how busy it is.
Yes.
And he took amazing care of our family.
Oh,
great upgrade. He says a fan of the show. So love to see it. Just kind of made some new friends when I was there. But every single person in there, this is where I judge hotels. Are they smiling when they're walking around during busy times? And everyone was smiling. Everyone was genuinely nice, from the doorman to the concierge, the front desk to the restaurant team. Awesome job at that hotel.
That is so great. Shout out to them. Oh my gosh. I have a very secret trip, not so secret because I'm sharing it on here, but I have a secret trip coming up to Washington, D.C. this weekend. So I'm not staying in that area, but maybe I'll pop over there.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So my real-time recap, I did something different. I stayed in an Airbnb. I know everybody, all you hotel people, don't gasp. It's okay. It's fine.
That's right. We run a management company with Airbnb, you know, so.
Oh, no, totally. No. Oh, a fan. So loved all the little touches of the house. The host was wonderful. We like communicated ahead of time. We were going to stay for two nights and we decided to stay for three. Just the decor was, by the way, I was walking around that house, taking pictures of everything, being like, oh, I like this style. I like that.
Where were you?
So I stayed in Palm Springs and I stayed, actually, you can even see the place online, Casita Nopal. And the communication with the host was so wonderful. You felt like you were staying. I mean, obviously, you just like felt like you were able to like have a home away from home. And it was so, it was just great. And just like comfortable, easy, perfect way to get away. But again, it was this nice reminder that, you know, even if you're not necessarily in a hotel, you can still have wonderful experiences and have wonderful service from, you know, Airbnb hosts or anybody that's doing sort of a home rental. And just, you know, from champagne, because we were there over New Year's, chocolate, mm-hmm. all of that, you can still have the warm and fuzzies.
Yes, you can.
So that was pretty cool. But so shout out to them. I'll probably do a little post to talk about that property because it was awesome. Definitely worth it.
Give them a shout out. They would love that. And if you get one booking from you, that's just so nice for one of those.
Icing on the cake. Exactly.
That's amazing.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead? Our hospitality quote of the day. Would you like to read it?
Ooh. Let's read it. Being on par in terms of price and quality only gets you into the game. Service wins the game.
Yes.
That's from Tony Alessandra.
Yes. I love this quote. We talk about it all the time, that it's like it's service is the tipping point. Service is what brings people back, not your marble floors. They could be really pretty marble, but like, you know what I mean? They're coming back for your employees, the service, how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the difference of why somebody comes back to a hotel. We all know, we all want return guests.
It's true. It's just small touches, right? Like we didn't stay at the hotel, but we had breakfast at the Pendry, Washington, D.C. They came out with little gifts for the kids, coloring books, little things, and they're still carrying around with them, right? Because they took that extra step of service to say, you know, we want to really take care of these kids while they're here. So small, tiny touches that cost maybe $1 and they remember it forever.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's so, so awesome. Oh, thank you, Jeremy, by the way. Happy New Year. All of that. I love this. People buy from people. This is true.
Yeah. Nice people.
Yeah, correct. Thank you for clarifying, Steve. Nice. People buy from nice people.
Yes.
Yes. No, this is so true. So I love that. Hopefully that reminds you how important and valuable we are in the hospitality industry, that we are the different, we make the difference wherever, at whatever property we're working at. So remember that going into this year, know your value that you are bringing to the property that you work at, because you are what makes the difference.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to end today. That was very motivational. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, you came to my TED Talk too. Good times. You guys are getting free TED Talks here, early morning Wednesdays, with that early morning energy.
We need some swag with early morning energy. We just need to make that happen.
We have something. We need some, like, you know, lightning bolts, early morning energy. Woo! Perfect. Oh, wow. I promise I will calm down. But this was great. What a fun start to the new year.
A great start to the new year. I'm excited for what we have coming up. We have some big things planned, and I know that we're going to do even bigger things with all of you listening, subscribing, commenting, and joining us every week. It's amazing.
And if you want to see us come to a city near you, we can make it happen.
Yeah, so, we had a good test run. We loved it down here in Hollywood at the Diplomat Hotel.
We did. So we're going to have to make something happen. We'll figure it out.
And look, you motivated Federica. So
yay, Federica. You make a difference.
I know you're doing big things out there, Federica. Keep doing it. And we're here if you need anything.
100%. So that being said, that is our show, our very first show to start and kick off the 2024 season. Here we go.